Everyone, thank you for allowing us to share with you this evening. On behalf of the family, thank you all so much for all your prayers. We really do appreciate it. And as you know, we all need prayer. So we thank you all for your constant prayer and the other ways that you encourage us. So thank you all. This evening, we'll just look a little bit in Galatians. I just thought that maybe I'll just share a couple of things about the fruit of the Spirit, and maybe during this time that it might be an encouragement to us. So if we could just turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll just read verse 22, 23, and 4. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections or the passions thereof and the lusts. Okay. Well, I've just been thinking about these things, and just thought I'd share a couple of things with you. First of all, as you know, there's nine of these fruits of the Spirit. Some have said it's probably one fruit, which is love, and then the rest of it is just encompassed in that. And you know, but as we see it here, you have nine fruits, even though it says fruit singular. We could think of it as like one fruit with several different fruits within that fruit. One thing is that if you can separate it into threes. So you have the first three, which is love, joy, peace, and then you have long suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. And some have suggested that, you know, the first three, you could think of it as inward, something that we have. The next three, you think outward towards others, and then the last three, Godward. And with all nine of the fruits, I mean, they you could have it, everyone has the same fruit, like it's all of it you could find in either case, but just a little breakdown of the three three sets of threes. We'll just look at what some of the meanings of it. So we think of love here. It's the benevolence. Love is benevolence. And one other thing that you can think of the fruit of the Spirit is that the fruit of the Spirit can only be produced by God. So only the Spirit of God can produce these fruits. The true fruit in us. There are some of these things that we can try to manifest within our own flesh without the Spirit of God, but it wouldn't be genuine. So some of these fruits are not are produced only by the Spirit of God. Some of these things we can try to muster it up, but eventually, they will not last. There won't be lasting fruit. We think of just if you think of when the sower goes out and sows, and some of the seed fall by the wayside and among thorns and so on, and some of it might grow up for a little bit, and then when whether it be persecutions or the, like it says, the heat of the sun and thorns, and it chokes it. It's the same thing with the fruit of the Spirit. that if we in our flesh try to produce it, then it's not going to last. When the Spirit of God produces the fruits of the Spirit in us, then that lasts for all eternity. The first one, love, benevolence. We think it's like goodwill. It's what God has towards us. And this love could only be produced by the Spirit of God. This sort of selfless love, really, it could only God could produce that love. If we could look at and if we could turn to Matthew 24, this is sort of it's interesting in Matthew 24 and verse Matthew 24 verse 12. In Matthew 24 verse 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And that's, if you could think of it, like I was saying, that only the Spirit of God can produce this love. You think of this love when iniquity abounds, and this is speaking of the last days, that sort of benevolence love that we should have for one another, that God has for us, that goodwill, it's going to grow cold. And again, it just shows the sort of how you can't, if it's not God produced, it's not gonna last very long. Now, one of the things that the Lord Jesus says, and if we could turn to John chapter 13, John chapter 13, verse 35. Again, you know, the Spirit of God is producing these things in us. It says, John 13, 35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And that's how others know that we're the disciples of Christ, that we belong to Christ. It's because of the love. And this is the love that should be seen amongst believers, our love for God, our love for fellow men. And again, that's only really produced by the Spirit of God. And then you have joy, and that's cheerfulness, delight. If we could look at Matthew chapter two. These fruits. You know, we can try to replicate it without the Spirit of God, and it might be there for a while, but really, it only lasts a while. And when trials and temptation comes, when we're trying to produce it ourselves, it ends up dying or going away. So Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10, talking of this joy, it says in verse 10, it says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." And again, you think of these things, and you think of these are things that the Spirit of God produces, and you could think of these men, these wise men, going and searching for the Christ, and they see a symbol, a sign of where the Christ might be, and their heart is filled with joy exceedingly. another place we could find the same sort of joy. If you turn with First Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 8. And it says, who having not seen, you love, in whom, though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And, with one of the things with the fruit of the Spirit, all these fruits, like I said, they're produced by the Spirit. And what happens is it's something that is beyond what we as mere flesh can produce. It's more than the if I could put it this way, more than the required amount. It goes above and beyond. The joy is more than the human heart. It's more than we can in of ourselves produce. These are fruits that when times get hard, when things are not going as well as they should, these fruits, they don't disappear. They don't diminish in any way. It's always there. And that's because it's the Spirit of God that produces it. And because the Spirit of God is in us, that is there. So for example, the joy, they saw the star, they saw the one that they were looking for, and they were exceeding great joy. Here, this one that we haven't seen yet, we love him, and believing, we have joy unspeakable. And so these are things that the mere just in of ourselves we can't produce. These are fruits that only the Spirit of God can produce. And we could look at the peace. So peace is quietness. It's being at rest. You can think of peace as the peace that it speaks of is if you have two that are in opposition and bringing them back together in one again. If we could look at Romans chapter 5, one of my favorite verses. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And we have, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's another fruit that only God produces. And why do we have peace with God? Well, in chapter 4, verse 24 and 25 tells us, and I'll just read that. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And so he goes on to say, and because of that, because this one was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, we are justified. We're justified by faith, and we have peace with God, meaning that we've been made one again with God. And now there's a cheerfulness and a delight. And if you think about these things, all these gifts, it seems like this fruit of the Spirit, it just builds on one another. You know, if we have the love of God dwelling in us, then we're going to have joy, right? And if we have joy, then we'll have peace. We'll have quietness. We'll have rest. These are things that we will have within us. And not only will we have these things within us, but these are things that we can impart to others. We could show love to others. We could show joy, share the joy that we have with others. And we can share the peace that we have with others. And again, these just build on one another. And next we have, if you think about these three, we're thinking of these three as those that we have within us. The next three, we could think of things that would be towards others, right? And again, even if we break these down, like we just said, love, joy, peace can be shown to others too. Those are, even though they're inward, they're also outward, and they're towards God because we love God. Because we love God, we have joy. I just think of the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? And we have peace with God and so on. The next one is patience or long suffering. And if we could, patience, long suffering, forbearance, you know, we're patient with others. We suffer long with them. And if we could look at, First Timothy 1. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern of them that should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. And so long suffering, just bearing long. I mean, that's one of the things that's towards others. We bear long with others, even as God has been bearing long with us. I look back at my life and you know, he bared 29 years with me before I came to my senses and realized that I needed a savior. And so he's long suffering. If you could, Second Peter, if we could look at Second Peter. Second Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. In verse 15, and it says, according that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. I'm sorry, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you. And again, it's that the same way that the Lord was long suffering towards us. And even now, I mean, sometimes I look at my own life and I see, wow, I'm making like really slow progress, you know, and I guess where I think that I ought to be, you know, it's really slow progress. And I think that, wow, God is so patient, so long suffering. He's gentle and he's kind, and we should be the same way with others. We should be long suffering with others. If we look at how the Lord has been with us. And again, you know, this is, it's one of those fruits that only the the Spirit can produce in us, you know, because, you know, if at times I think, you know, if we didn't have the Spirit of God with us, you know, how short we would be with, how short we are with others, and not being long suffering, not being patient, and I'm forbearing with one another. And so, and then our next one, towards others again, is kindness or gentleness. If we could look at Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. And as you can see, all these things is not only are those things that we do towards others, these are things that God has shown to us. He's been patient or long suffering with us, and we should be patient and long suffering with others. Kindness or gentleness. God has been kind and gentle with us, and we should be kind and gentle with others. Verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And so just God's kindness and gentleness, and we ourselves ought to be that way to others. And you know, in all these fruits, when the Spirit is producing it in us, and we're showing it to others, basically what we're doing is we're just being his witness. We're just being like God, right? We're showing the love of God to others. We're just showing others what God is like. We're what people see. And I remember hearing all of this, and I was telling this to someone just the other day. You know, a lot of people would rather see a sermon than hear it. And when we're manifesting these fruits, we're preaching a sermon, because those that don't know God, they're looking at us, and what they see, they're picturing God based on what they see in us. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, and if we're Christ ones, if we're like Christ, then the way that we act, the way that the things that we do, how we say them, should show people what Christ is like. If we could also look at Romans chapter 2, again, this gentleness and kindness that God showed to us, and we should show to others. So Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans 2, 4. Or despise you, and well, maybe we'll start in verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise you the riches of his goodness, and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, or the gentleness of God, leadeth to repentance? And so again, God is gentle. His kindness towards us, or the same thing as goodness, and it's for a purpose, to bring us to repentance. And so when we show kindness and goodness, and we're showing what God is like, and that in turn will let people see what God is like, that he's kind, he's gentle, he's loving, that we can have joy in him, peace. Let's look at one more. Titus, chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. Again, the kindness or the gentleness of God. It says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared. I just can't help think of, the kindness of God. And what that reminds me of is David. And David says, is there any of the house of Saul left that I might show them the kindness of God for Jonathan's sake? And it's the same thing here, that this is how God is towards us. And David is sort of that picture of God being kind to us for Christ's sake. The goodness, fruit of the Spirit, goodness. And if we, and goodness here, is like uprightness. It's being upright. It's being, good. And we could look at a couple of verse here. Romans chapter 15. It's like uprightness of heart and life in Romans chapter 15 and Romans 15 and 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. So they're filled with uprightness of heart and life. You know, that when, you know, it's the sort of person that could go and says, you know, I can trust this person that they'll always do the right thing, that they're good, they're not gonna swindle you, they're not gonna do you wrong or anything like that. This goodness to them, they're upright in their life and in their heart. It's like kindness and so on. That's what that is. And those are things, again, things that we show towards others, right? And it's because that's what God has shown to us. So goodness. Now let's look at some of the three that would sort of encompass being Godward. Those are things. So those three, patience, long suffering, gentle kindness and goodness that we show towards others. And now we'll look at the other three. If you could think of it as more towards Godward. And we'll start with faithfulness, and faithfulness is the conviction of the truthfulness of God, right? And that's faithfulness. That I know, I'm convinced that that God is truthful. The things that he says is truthful. The things that he does is fruitful. So I could trust that. And that's the faithfulness. And if we could look at Ephesians chapter 1. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And, you know, Paul heard of their faith, their conviction of the truthfulness of God. And so Acts chapter 6. We could look at Acts chapter 6. And we'll start our reading in verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. This is an interesting thing. The meaning of faith or faithfulness is that the conviction of the truthfulness of God. And this is sort of a side note. I just wonder, weren't the priests, didn't they believe that God was faithful before this? It says that a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I think this is just kind of an interesting little thing that only now they're convinced of the truthfulness of God. And I guess maybe it's because they now see that the Christ that they crucified was the Messiah, and they're obedient to that, and they see that truthfulness that this one, that God was going to send a Messiah, and that Christ is that one, and maybe that's what that is. But it's just interesting that they just realized a great company of them are now convinced. And I've heard some says that once they saw the ripping of that veil between the holy and the holiest, that a lot of them may have really come to faith in Christ at that time. But it's just interesting that they're now convinced of the truthfulness of God. And now, again, this is and I say God would to these three because our faith is towards God, that we believe what God has said, and I just think of faith as just believing what God has said, and so being convinced of that truthfulness, that what God says is all true. And next we have gentleness. And that word, gentleness, is humility or meekness. And if we could look at 2 Timothy 2:25, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if peradventure, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Right. And basically, and here this one is we in gentleness, in humility, instructing those that oppose. And again, these are these are fruits that are produced by the Spirit of God. And if you could think of us, and I've encountered some people here recently, one of the things that I've realized is that heresy, it seems, heresy is one of the most difficult sins, I guess, if you want to call it that, sins to be repented of, because it has an element of pride to it, right? Meaning that there's the fact that I know something that makes me, that elevates me above others, and it takes humility to acknowledge that, you know what, here's what I believe is not true. And I've met some people here recently that have just kind of reaffirmed this fact of not wanting to learn in humility. And so he says here, if we must approach God, you know, it says God resists the proud. If we must approach God, if we must come before God, we must come in humility, in meekness. And it's interesting that it is said of Moses that he was the meekest man, and he was one of the greatest used of God. And because of his humility. And so humility. And so he says in meekness instructing those that oppose. And that's, if we must approach God, we must approach him in humility. So we must, if we're going to come to God, we must believe that we must be convinced that all that he says is truthful. If we're going to approach him, we must come in humility. And so these are things that are towards God. And lastly, self-control or temperance. And if we could, and what that is the being able to control one's passion and one's desire. And you might think, well, how would that be Godward? That would be something that I do of myself. Well, you know, in the same token, I guess you could say as humility, one realizing that one must come humbly before God, it's the same thing that we must learn to control our desires and our impulses. And the reason why I say this, in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 5. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it says this: "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry." And you know, if you're a covetous person, you can't control your desire, right? Covetousness is wanting something wanting what you see and just wanting to have it. And so that's idolatry. And so if you're gonna, not be an idolater, covetous, well, you need to learn how to control your desires. And that's self-control. And so if our desires and our passions are controlling us, then we've removed God from where he ought to be, which is in charge. And we've put ourselves in control, and we haven't controlled ourselves. I don't know if that makes any sense. And so we look at all these things, and we see again, all these fruits of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, can be both towards God, towards our fellow man. All of them will fit in all the categories, and they will all fit towards God, towards ourselves, and towards others. Right. Every single one of them, we can show those things, not just towards God and towards others, but we can have those things within ourselves. And so I'd like to end with just looking at something. And it's in 1 John, and it talks about, and I had mentioned earlier that it seems that we can take love and make it the fruit of the Spirit, because it says singular fruit. And all those other things can be incorporated in that. And it seems that love seems to be the greatest. And so if we could turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll look at some of these things. Love. Concerning love. Verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if we love God, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And again, it goes back to, this is how you'll know that you're my disciples. And these things, this fruit of the Spirit, this love, and I sort of believe that all these other things emanate out of love. If we love God, the Lord Jesus Christ was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And it says, on these two hang all the law. And Paul would say, if you fulfill the royal law, is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. You love God, you love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe that if we have this love of God in us, dwelling in us, and the fruit, the Spirit is producing this, all the rest of the fruit of the Spirit will be produced through that. Because if we have love, if we have the love of God, the joy of God will be in us, and we'll have the peace of God, and we'll be patient, we'll be gentle, we'll be uprightness of heart, and we'll have faith, we'll believe what God says, we'll be gentle with each other, we'll be able to control our passions and our desires. And so the love of God, and one more thing concerning that is verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And again, it goes back to this, that it is God that produces this in us. And without him producing it in us, we really can't show it to others. We can't manifest it. And when times are hard, when things are difficult, and when we can't see what's coming next, those things, those fruit of the Spirit are just going to be dried up. And so I hope this has encouraged you as you know, maybe cultivating this the fruit of the Spirit, and it all comes down to love and realizing that God loved us, and because he loved us, we love him, and we can love others also. Why don't we close in a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your continued mercy and grace and your love for us. Father, help us to love one another even as you have loved us. And you've demonstrated your own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us. And Father, help us to show that love, especially, Father, in these last days, these trying times. We pray that we would show everyone the love of God, that the fruit of the Spirit might be manifested in all of our hearts. And so we give you thanks, Father, and we just bless you and thank you and praise you in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.